Heavenly Father, we delight to see your love, your care. Lord, how you guide us. You direct our path. You cause us to look upward, not downward, Lord. And Lord, we rejoice as the Lord Jesus Christ helps us now by the Holy Spirit. Teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 12. If you guys want to turn there, we'll be at verse 13. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" Then Jesus said to them, the crowd, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The crown of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So starting off with, I'd ask, have you ever had something consume your thoughts? Almost so that you can't sleep and you're plagued at night. Maybe recently it might have been cooking a turkey. Might be undercooked, overcooked. I didn't have that problem, thankfully, but sometimes it can be something more serious. Identity theft takes away half your bank account. You're fretting about how to fix this and what you can do. And did you lose all this? Or maybe it's related to work or business where inflation's coming, recession might be coming, and you're worried, or sometimes it's a loved one's health. Tonight we are going to meet a man who has a similar problem. He's consumed with this crisis in his life. He has a treasure that he desires, but he doesn't have it. And because of this, he's blinded and he needs help. He's heading in a direction, though, that is bad. But thankfully, Jesus will have compassion on him. Jesus will point this man upward to a treasure that he can have. And so, as we look at our text, we see that Jesus is teaching a multitude of followers. If you look at verse 1, it says, in the meantime of chapter 12, verse 1, it says, so many thousands of people, that's the ESV or the NKJV says, an innumerable multitude of people had gathered. And they had gathered to learn from Jesus. So much had they gathered that they were trampling over one another. So this is a large crowd before Jesus. This is a pretty intense time. And at the same time with this large crowd coming together, there's the Pharisees. The Pharisees, if you went back to chapter 11, are actively trying to trap Jesus, to arrest him. And Jesus, dealing with this foolishness, begins to teach all of his followers, be wary. Be wary of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, of this false religion. Be wary of their outward show. And he's laboring these spiritual truths. And he tells his followers, fear God, not men. Trust the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus is teaching these weighty things, we have verse 13, all of a sudden, comes in. And what happens? Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me. Have you guys ever been teaching somebody? I think of parents when you're teaching your kids and doing family devotionals. And you're intently laboring to show them something amazing about God, something in the spiritual realm. And as you're wrapping up, one of them raises their hand and you're so excited. And you're like, yes, he was listening. Most likely a boy, but he says, Daddy, do we go to the beach today? And you're like, oh, yes, we're going to the beach. But in the same way, Jesus is laboring in the spiritual realm. In this man is consumed not with what Jesus is talking about, sadly. He's heading in a direction towards a downward focus of a heavenly treasure. And as Jesus is rudely interrupted, discussing these spiritual truths, this man yells out. And what this man is, Jesus is going to reveal, is another foolishness. No one else can see it, but of course Jesus can see it. And so we see here that Jesus, as he is teaching this large crowd, he's going to look at this man and he's going to reveal what's in this man's heart. And this man, he doesn't know which way he's headed. He doesn't see the darkness. Can you sympathize with this man? What we see is this is a weighty trial. This is a real life problem. He has been wronged, right? Does this happen today where money is stolen from family members? Other crises come into our lives and this problem is consuming him. And yes, this happens today. We can sympathize with him where certain trials come in and derail us. And overcome our thoughts and don't let us sleep. But this man specifically has an inheritance that his brother has not divided with him. He thinks he's been wronged in his eyes. And so he comes to Jesus and he's hoping for a judgment in his favor. The amazing part is he's lost all politeness, right? When you look at it, he doesn't even ask Jesus. When you look at what he does, is he just commands Jesus, tell my brother to give me my inheritance. And so, thankfully, by God's amazing plan, this trial that has come into this man's life is driving him to get help. And most amazingly, he's going to Jesus. Though he doesn't even know the darkness that he's in, he's there. He's before Jesus. And so, what can Jesus see? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Jesus can see this man has no concern for spiritual matters. He's only focused on the physical and material. You could literally say his inheritance right now is his religion. That's what he wants. The Pharisees, it was the foolishness of their hypocrisy. But this man loved that inheritance. And so we see here that Jesus, in love, will call this man a fool. A fool. What is a fool? It is someone who does not have God in their thoughts. This man might have looked religious. He might have had really nice clothes. On the outside, other men would have looked at him, wouldn't have seen anything wrong. But Jesus can see what's going on in the inside and see that this man has allowed this treasure to consume him. He's not worrying about what God has asked of him, to love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Instead, he's let his heart and desires rule him. And as we think about this, what drives us? What motivates us? What causes us to work hard? What's in our hearts? Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But what is Jesus going to do? Like a master surgeon, Jesus will take this man and lay him out. He will open up this man's chest and bring out his heart and reveal to this man the darkness, the sin that is consuming him. And so as this man is in that crowd, Jesus turns to all of the crowd. He turns to them, as it says in verse 14. And he addressed the man. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" I probably would not respond with such kindness as Jesus did as he's interrupted. But Jesus responds with this rhetorical question, pointing out that Jesus is not here to judge in these material or physical concerns. Jesus has come to deal with sin. And as Jesus then, he turns to the crowd and he says to the crowd, and he begins to labor in teaching all of those there. And he starts off in verse 15 and he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And so when Jesus says those words, "Take heed," he's telling the whole crowd of people, look, you need to see this. You need to perceive what is going on, not what's just on the outside, but look what's happening. Take heed, stop and consider. And then he says the word beware. Be on guard against, which is what the ESV says. Jesus is saying there's a danger here. And it's not just worth saying to this man, it's worth saying to the whole crowd. There is a danger that Jesus wants us to be aware of. No one else can see it, but Jesus does. And what is Jesus worried about? James 1:14 and 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." What can Jesus see? He sees this covetousness that is leading this man to death. A path that he has chosen based on his heart's desire. He is looking at a downward direction that is leading to death and eternal damnation. And the people around him cannot see this. But Jesus is revealing this danger. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Jesus is saying we should not take lightly this covetousness. And so, even the crowd, if they could see what Jesus sees, they would probably be warning this man, hey, you need to be listening to Jesus, not worried about this inheritance. But Jesus tells us, take heed and beware. And so what is covetousness? What is it to covet? Covetousness, or to covet, is a strong or inordinate desire for wealth or possessions or someone else's possessions. And like I said, can we see covetousness? Can we see it? Can your doctor diagnose this? No. This is only a spiritual problem. Only in the heart. Even think about us. How often do we talk about this? No, this is kind of a shameful thing. It's a dark thing. And so, you know, maybe it's not really an issue, right? We don't have a problem with this. This is America. We're above this, right? If there is no looking upward, if there is no spiritual realm involved in our lives, we will never be able to see this deadly sin. We have to make sure that our desires of our hearts are aligned with God's word, with truth. Because if not, if we let our hearts' desires decide, we will be in error. We will fall into idolatry, be greedy or covetousness, or have a false religion. And so Jesus is warning that this sin leads to death. And he further explains it in verse 15 where he says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." And when Jesus uses this word life, he's not referring to the physical body or the biological body. When he uses this word, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses, he's talking about satisfaction. A reason of living, the meaning of life, one's spiritual source of life. And this is the error that this man has made, that he's revealing to the whole crowd. It's his downward focus that this man is headed towards. And he doesn't understand the danger that he is in. And so I ask, at this moment, what does this man need? Maybe, what if Jesus would perform a miracle? Would this validate this command that that Jesus has given to this man of take heed of covetousness? No, this man does not need a miracle. But what Jesus is going to do is he's going to give him a parable. Like a master surgeon, Jesus is going to aim right for his heart to lay open what is inside that he can't see. He doesn't need a parable. He's going to aim right for his heart using a parable. And Jesus wants to help warn him. He loves this man before him. And in love, he's going to warn him of the danger that he's in through this parable. And so then we come to verse 16. And so this, I want you to think about, what did this man do wrong? Verse 16 again. "Then Jesus spoke the parable to the whole crowd, them, saying, 'The ground of a rich man yielded plentifully.' And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' Oh, so he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided?'" What did this man do wrong in this parable? Did he murder somebody to get these riches? Did he steal to get these riches? Did he lie to get these riches? No, no. Did he even covet in this parable? No. None of these. So as we look at this, what did this man do wrong that he deserves condemnation and death, his soul to be required the very night? This is what Jesus is aiming at. He was a fool. He had no thoughts of God. Like I said before, what is a fool? Someone who says in their heart there is no God and does not listen to God. And so the parable starts off with is that the ground of the rich man yielded plentifully. So this man is already rich. He has lots of farmland. He has barns and goods. And he had what we would call a huge bumper crop, as John MacArthur would call it. So much so that he can't store it. And I mean, he's the one who planted the seed, he pulled the weeds, he harvested the crops. So in his mind, these riches that he just earned, isn't he entitled to it? And so we see that this is how he feels. And thus, when he's presented with this large crop, what is he going to do? He's going to build those bigger barns and tear down, which then allow him to eat, drink, and be merry, as the parable says. And so, again, does this man deserve hell? Seems a little harsh, almost too harsh. Does he deserve hell because he didn't give thanks to God? He denied the fact that God allowed him to have this, even his riches and the farmland, but also this large crop. Is this the foolishness that he deserves? But Jesus is showing us that that's not what he did wrong. Is it because he was so selfish and inward focused with this extra bounty? Should he be given to God and given to the poor? Instead of he grows his portfolio, grows his assets. But again, that's not why he is judged. Was it his living for pleasure, that ease, drink, and be merry? That American dream, right, would have just been able to retire at 40 and have pleasure and fun. So now he can watch TikTok all day. Was this the judgment that he's under before that? You know, watch his sports or Korean soap operas. But this is foolishness, but it's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable was to show that this man gave his life to his possessions, but didn't have any concern for his soul. He was so downward focused, it blinded him to prepare his soul to meet God. And this is the end of the foolishness that Jesus is pointing out in the parable. He had no thoughts of God. And that's where he was a fool. He says, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." And so, Jesus is telling this man, don't be rich in material things, because they don't last. Be rich in spiritual things, because they do last. That should be our focus. And so, as we think about this parable for ourselves, Jesus, again, speaks to us tonight. He again speaks to us, and he does not want us to be a fool. Right? Again, we'll read 1 Timothy 6:9, which says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." These words in this parable that's spoken to this rich man are fearful words. "Fool, this night your soul is required of you." We never want to hear these words spoken to us. We never want to make this mistake that would cause us to have to hear these words. And so Jesus, in love, he warns us Where is your heart? Where is your treasure? He could see it in this man, and he can see our treasure even tonight. Every one of us. And this is the warning that he gives us. But as we think about ourselves, we also think about those around us. We live in America. This rich man is the every American dream. And Jesus is trying to bring truth to us. As we think of what is paraded on the TV, in the news, and all of those things, our hearts are kind of drawn towards that. It pulls on us those heartstrings. And we need to see the foolishness of those things that don't last. And we can warn others, family members, friends, co-workers, beware of covetousness. Beware of the riches. Don't labor after them. The danger that is in them. Be on guard against them. Take heed. And what does this mean when it comes down to the nitty and gritty? We can't let our hearts reign. We can't let our desires be what determine what we go after. That would be a foolish thing. But what would we do? We would allow faith to direct us upward. Allow faith to allow us to take God's word and reign over our heart's desires, our thoughts, our plans. And then we see His glory. We see His goodness. Have you bought into that American dream of that big bank account, that take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry? God's word humbles that. He says, again, 1 Timothy 6:7, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Kids, did you hear that? We're going upon Christmas, right? I'll read that one more time. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Just kidding. But adults, you know where we struggle with this. God's word continues in 1 Timothy. If we are rich, there is a command for us. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. This is what the rich are to do. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. It's amazing. If we're rich, God says, give to the poor in Christ's name. See the living God as the one who has provided for you to be a means for His kingdom work for others around us in the glory. We're not to hoard. We're not to go after that retirement. Ask Jesus how much we need for retirement. And so, another application is, how does this relate to Christmas? Christmas will reveal to the world where their heart is. Right? The world is going to be after all this physical and material things. And it's going to be foolish. You're going to see the foolishness around you. Christmas, as we celebrate Christ. And so we're commanded here to not be consumed with the materialism, but to be consumed with Christ. Christ in us, Christ in others, and sharing Christ with others as we come to this Christmas holiday. And parents, we need to train our kids. Beware of covetousness. Start now. Dig up that ground now. Get them used to thinking in the spiritual realm. What makes them happy? Where is their treasure? And our last point in closing is the last thing that Jesus says outside the parable, verse 21. It says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So Jesus, what does he want from us? We know he's saying, beware of the covetousness, beware of the material possessions and the things that would lead us downward. But Jesus wants us to be rich towards God. That's a difficult one. Can we see God, kids? No, we can't see God. That's right. So how are we to be rich towards God? Amazing thing is Jesus shows us. Right? He gives us a really good example. We've probably experienced this. Has anybody seen a rich man? What does a rich man talk about? What does a rich man brag about? What is the rich man always laboring towards? And what is the rich man's treasure? You hear of it, you see it. And so Jesus is telling us, as that rich man loves treasure, we're going to be rich towards God. 1 Timothy 6 continues to help us further understand this. "But you, O man of God, flee these things," talking about the foolishness, "pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable life, whom no man has ever seen or can see, to whom will be honor and everlasting power. Amen." Like the rich man and his riches, is going to be the Christian and Christ. That's what we're shown in this parable. The rich man is consumed by his riches. It's all he thinks about, schemes about, plans for. The Christian is consumed with Christ, in love with him, in relentless pursuit of Christ and service of him. The rich man's riches affect every one of his decisions. And Christ affects every decision in our life. And so we would be laboring towards, even Christmas time this year, to be rich towards God. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, you love us. Lord, you call us upward. And we thank you. We thank you that you walk with us. And Lord, you are our deliverer. When we can't even see the darkness in our own hearts, you reach down from heaven and pull us up, Lord. Thank you for your love, oh Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are a deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.